Okay. Well, over the next few minutes, I want to share a little bit of our vision. We did this in 2020. I think we had a sort of 2023 vision, which I think we launched end of 2021. And I think the plan had been to do this a little bit earlier, but we felt we needed to finish off some building projects first. So there's three things I want to share with you today. A little bit of our vision, second, our identity, and thirdly, our priorities. This began last summer. Thank you, first of all those who filled out the online survey. Do you remember you filled that in with your views on these things? And the PCC had an away morning where we considered it, and then we pulled it together for what I'm going to share today. So let's firstly talk about the vision aspect. And in one sense, that is the bit that hasn't changed, because it's on our strap line, isn't it? Helping local people follow Jesus Christ. That is what we're all about. It's what St. Matthew's has been about since, well, for decades and decades, actually. It's about helping each other follow Jesus in the ups and downs of life. But it's not just an internal thing, it's an external thing. We want to help this community to follow Jesus Christ. We want to introduce them to Jesus and invite them to become one of his followers and know all the blessings and hope that that brings. So our vision remains the same, helping local people follow Jesus Christ. And I want to say that helps shape our activities, our planning. Is it going to help local people follow Jesus Christ? Because that is, first and foremost, what we're all about. That's our vision. That hasn't changed. But we also then thought about our identity. What sort of church are we? And I think we are three things. We're an evangelical, Anglican, parish church. And there's a priority though, Douglas. We're evangelical first, we're Anglican second, and we're parish church third. You might say, what do those three words mean? So here we go. That's my attempt to talk about our identity. Firstly, we're an evangelical church. So that means we uphold what I would call traditional, classical, evangelical beliefs. Now, it's very hard to summarize those, but I think here's the first thing. We believe in the authority of the Bible. For those of you who heard me preach last week, you'll know that is my firm conviction, that the Bible is our authority. It is the Word of God, and we submit to its authority. And therefore, everything we believe is shaped by what God has said to us in the Scriptures. So we believe in the authority of the Bible. And the other, I think, core tenet of evangelical belief is that salvation is by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone. Just to unpick that. In other words, how do we get right with God? It is by faith. It is by trusting God. That is a classic Protestant belief. Through Christ alone. The way to get right with God is through Jesus Christ alone. And it's by grace. It's a gift. Friends, if you are trusting Jesus Christ, you can have complete confidence of knowing that he's died for you, risen again to forgive you, and bring you into relationship with God. So we uphold traditional evangelical beliefs. And we, as a church council, we talked about being affirming the Church of England's Evangelical Council's statement of faith. It's on our website. If you go to our values, I think if you click through, you can now link through. We will print them out and put them out. One of the bishops in our diocese, Bishop Ruth, is committed to that same belief, and we thank God for her witness for evangelicalism within our denomination. That also includes a very clear statement of our beliefs in relation to sex and marriage, so CEEC. And that means we're going to partner with other evangelicals. We've got two organizations we partner with, the Evangelical Alliance, which connects evangelicals across denominations and is quite culturally diverse, which I think is a healthy thing. And then Sussex Gospel Partnership, like-minded evangelicals here in Sussex. So we're an evangelical church, but we're also an Anglican church. So we are part of the Diocese of Chichester. The Church of England is made up of 42 dioceses. Now, I'm conscious, if you were watching Channel 4 this week, particularly the news, it's been in the news. I'm going to speak more about that next week, about the dramas in Liverpool, because I do want to say something on that, but that's not for today. But we are an active part. We're not just sitting on the sidelines. Some of you know I'm a rural dean here for Hastings. I have kind of responsibility for coordinating the Church of England's witness here in Hastings. And I'm also help out as one of the assistant archdeacons, providing support to the wider structures. It's my firm conviction that we need to be engaged in those structures to make a difference for the gospel. Sussex needs Jesus, and I believe the Church of England is well placed to do that. Secondly, we have to a distinctly Anglican understanding of being an evangelical. So there are certain distinctives of being an Anglican. So, for example, we have Episcopal church government. It's one of those strange things. I'm not accountable, first and foremost, to the PCC. I'm accountable to the bishop. If you have a concern with my behaviour, the Darcy structures kick in, and they are the ones who have to take action. We baptise children. It's my firm conviction that children growing up in the life of the church, where one of the parents is following the Lord Jesus, we baptise them and treat them as part of God's people. That's a distinctly Anglican understanding. We've also got an Anglican understanding of things like liturgy and of the Lord's Supper. And again, if you want to ask more about that, please do. And lastly, we believe, well, certainly I believe, the 39 articles. In other words, the doctrine of the church. If you go in the old prayer books and go to the back, they have something called the 39 articles. That is what the Church of England believes. They're at the back on the right if you want to take them home. I actually believe every single one of them. I'm not sure some clergy in the Church of England actually believe that doctrine, but I do. So feel free to read it and you can ask me about it. But actually, I uphold the traditional Anglican theology because I believe it is actually evangelical theology. So we're evangelicals, we're Anglicans. And lastly, we're a parish church. What does that mean to be a parish church? Well, here's the reason. It's this. We have a particular, I think, calling to this place, to Silver Hill. Some of you will know, in the Church of England, the whole country is divided into parishes, and each parish has responsibility for the cure of souls. That's my job. It is the cure of souls in this place. In other words, we have a responsibility for reaching out to tell people the good news of salvation. And particularly, we've given a responsibility. Now, parish boundaries are funny, but broadly, it's Silver Hill and most of the area on that map, actually. We want to be a church where we particularly think we want to reach this community. We're not trying to bring people in from every village in Rother. No, we want to reach this community. So we're evangelicals, holding traditional evangelical beliefs. We're Anglicans sitting within the Church of England, and we're a local church. Now, I'm conscious some of you would not necessarily call yourselves Anglicans. That's okay. We love being a church family made of people from all sorts of different backgrounds, whether they're Baptists or Free Church. Often we're united in those evangelical convictions first and foremost. But of course, our evangelism is marked out in the shape of our organized, in the way we live. So that is our identity. We're an evangelical Anglican parish church. So what about our priorities? Now, on one level, our vision sets out most of what we do. It is that helping local people follow Jesus Christ. But we've learned over the years that you can't do everything all the time. Man, if you look at all the things we could possibly do, think about just that map of Silver Hill, all the people who live there, goodness me, where would you start reaching out? We can't do everything. So we have to say, what things do we want to focus on with the resources that God's given us? God's given us a plate of resources. What can we do? And we've discerned in that four areas we want to particularly prioritise in the years ahead. Now, firstly, can I just say a thank you again for filling out the survey. Your feedback has really helped generate what I'm going to say today. There are four interwoven priorities. There's not one is more important than four. They all go together and they all match. And you'll see how they all kind of link in what I'm about to say. So here's the first thing. We want to be a church where Bible teaching and prayer are at the heart of every part of church life. Your feedback in that survey said, what do you appreciate about the life here at St. Matthew's? The fact that we're a church committed to teaching the Bible. The Bible teaching was a theme that came through. We said it's a priority because we don't want to lose that. We want to keep on making that a priority. Here's a little Bible verse. In the early church, there was a big issue that some of the widows were not being fed. And the apostles said, we need to sort that. And so they put together a team of people to feed the widows. But they said, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Because actually, as you read the book of Acts, how does a church grow? It is the ministry of word and prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to keep prioritizing Bible teaching and prayer because we believe it's through those things, trusting the power of the Holy Spirit, that a church grows. I look around the room today. We are bigger than we were 5 years ago. And I believe in part that's because we've been committed to this. And we want to be committed to this in the years ahead. So that's on Sundays. We want to be a church on Sundays where we work hard at teaching the whole of the Bible. And I'm massively thankful to David, to Ben, and to Alan, who help teach, and to James Clark coming as well. People might say to me, there's more we can do. Of course, and we'll keep looking at that. We want to keep prioritizing Bible teaching. On the prayer side of things, we have intercessions each week. Could we do more? Could we have some time of prayer ministry after the service? Could we have time for informal prayer? Maybe this is what God will call us to, and we're going to work this out. But we want prayer to be at the heart of our Sunday gatherings as well. At midweek, we want to have midweek groups with Bible teaching and prayer. We're hugely thankful to those who lead our current groups. I know so many of you, again, in the feedback, appreciated your groups for the fact that there's time for the Bible, there's time for prayer, there's time for fellowship. And it looks different in our different groups, but we want to keep that right at the heart of our groups. And lastly, with our children and young people. If that is how adults grow, that's how children are going to grow. Are we committed to a Bible teaching with our children in our church school, in Sunday Club, in Impact, and midweek? And is prayer part of that? Are we teaching our children to pray? So they become very prayerful, to trust the Lord. We need to keep that right at the heart of our life together. We also want to keep prayer meetings. We're thankful that we have them on the first Wednesday of the month. Increasingly, we're going to be using that as an opportunity to share what God is doing and to praise Him and thank Him and also trust Him for the month ahead. Again, there's probably more we can do for prayer. And again, feel free to share that. But we want to keep Bible teaching and prayer at the heart of every part of church life. So that's the first theme. Secondly, a church where everyone can use and develop their gifts to serve God. Here's another little Bible verse. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. One of the things we discerned in the survey is that for us to be able to grow as a church, we need to embrace every member ministry. That everybody here who's part of the life of St. Matthew's has gifts, spiritual gifts, given to them by God. And are we a church which is going to enable everyone to use them? If the church is going to grow, as part of our sort of thinking for this vision, we thought we're broadly 75 on a Sunday. What happens if over the next 4 years we became 125 on a Sunday? So that's 50 more people. Imagine another 50 people here in the building. We're going to need to equip and train people to enable more groups. We're going to need more midweek groups, aren't we? We're going to need more people to do all our different rotas, from our children's work through to our work with all our adults in different groups. And the reality is, going from 75 to 125, we're not going to get any more clergy allocation from the diocese. That's just the reality because of the way the numbers work. Once you get to about 120, 125, we can begin the discussion about returning to a full-time rector. But we've got to get there first. So we've got to find a model of growth that enables that to happen. And so we want to be a church where everybody can use their gifts to get us there. We believe it's a very biblical way. Everyone's got gifts to use. Some of us will have teaching gifts. Some of us will have soft gifts of mutual encouragement and prayer. Others will have very practical gifts. Everyone's got a part to play. So we want to identify gifts. And so part of the next year, we're going to be identifying what are your gifts. And if you're here today and you've been doing the same role for years in church life and you think, saying, this is my moment for stopping, do. Because we trust that God has always faithfully provided. People have stepped down, and I've been amazed. God has always provided the next way forward. And we want to equip and train people to use their gifts. Now, in one sense, the ministry of the word does that, Ephesians 4. But we also recognize there are other people out there to help us do it. We want to partner with Sussex Gospel Partnership. We talked about using organizations like Biblical Counseling UK to help and equip us and train us. Some of it is stuff I can do. Some of it will bring in others to equip and train us. Sometimes it'll be more practical training we need to learn how to do things. So we want to identify gifts. And lastly, we want to work in teams. Our teams have the big advantage. If one person does a ministry and does it all, if that person gets ill or has to move away or family circumstances change, that's the end of the ministry. If we have a team of people, it enables things to have longevity. I think it's a much more biblical way. People don't get sent out on their own, they get sent out in pairs. We want to work together in teams, bringing different gifts. We're not all the same. We want to work in teams. So a church where everyone can use and develop their gifts to serve God. Thirdly, a whole church approach to pastoral care. I'm very struck by these verses from John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, in the sermon later, I'm going to say a little bit more about this and see we're going to learn it direct from in 1 Thessalonians. But we feel that one of the key calls is that we want to be a church marked by other person-centered love and a mutual commitment to helping each other follow Jesus Christ. If the church was to grow from 75 to 125, broadly, the wider community would probably grow to about 200, 250 people. If that is me, dependent on me to provide pastoral care support, it's not going to happen. It really is not going to happen. So we need to be a church where we're all looking out for one another. We want to do the one anothering well in our small groups, in our distinctive ministries, whether it's our men's ministry or our women's ministry, in our young people's ministry. We want to create a culture of other person-centered love. I'll talk more about this in the sermon. But it feels like unless we develop a whole church approach to pastoral care, rather than it being dependent on me or just a small group of us, that will transform. Whole church approach to pastoral care. Lastly, outreach and evangelism to our local community. This is from 1 Thessalonians. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Are we going to be a church that wants to reach out to our local community? There's outreach and evangelism. I've used both words very deliberately. Outreach is building relationships. Evangelism is telling people about Jesus. Now, the answer is we can't do the evangelism unless we've built some relationships. If we just build relationships, that's not good enough. Then no one's going to follow Jesus. Do you see that we do both? And so we want to be a church where we are reaching out to this local community. Now, one of the ways we can do that will be through the privilege of a church school, one of the largest church schools in East Sussex. And we're very thankful for the opportunities that brings. We want to be able to connect with our school. Now, we do that through a weekly act of worship. We run a lunchtime club. I believe there is more we could do here. We need to work hard on those relationships, not only with the children, but with the whole families, the community of St. Paul's, so they might hear of Christ. So St. Paul's Academy. Smarties, massive thank you to the team that runs that, our toddler group, very popular each week. Again, let's keep connecting so that we can reach out and share Christ. CAP, as some of you know, that's one of our mission partners, helping those in debt. Another organisation I would love to partner with is Safe Families, which is a similar sort of thing, helping families at risk, whether children at risk of family breakdown. And again, I think there's more we can do. The Hub, our weekly coffee morning. And then community events. Lots of different ways to reach out into this community so that we reach all types of people with the wonderful news of Jesus. And they all come together to form our vision. Now, to enable us to do this, actually there's only two practical things we've really committed to. Firstly, to continue to employ a caretaker, administrator, and families and youth worker. We believe those staffing enables this vision to happen. On the latter one, families and youth worker, we've had grants to support that work in the past. We're going to need to take on increasingly that role and responsibility for ourselves financially. And we want to refurbish our church centre. We've started. There's a bit more work to do. We have a bid out to Biffa. We'll find out this month. That's worth about £50,000-£55,000. It basically kickstarts the whole project if we get it. So we'll trust, and they'll pay for 90% of what the first few phases. But we know there's more work to do to bring that centre up to standard for ministry in the 2020s. The drains are being done, hopefully this week coming. There's things we don't even see. There's some cracked drains, which is causing cracking in the building. Get that on top of that. Then we want to do the hall. The mill room certainly needs a refurb. There's more work on the externals. We need broadband, and we need to increase our lets because that drives income, which pays for ministry. And overall, that creates a little document that looks like this. We'll give you one on the way out, summarizing this sheet. I've just